actually, dude, you wouldn't believe it. I was on Craigslist. And...
What is with you on Craigslist?
No, I'm Jerry. Actually, I did see a really nice lathe on Craigslist, but unfortunately, the guy was asking too much for a lathe that didn't work.
A lathe or a lathe?
A lathe.
Oh. I don't know what you're looking for on Craigslist, man.
A lathe. What was that?
That sound can only mean one thing. It's time for another episode of Damn Art Majors.
Thanks for joining us.
Hello.
I'm not your host.
Also not your host.
Am I? Does that make me the host?
That makes you the host.
Well, that means I'm Adam Buccafusco. Join with me today, of course, is the forever greasy-haired Aaron Early.
Thanks, asshole.
And the forever four-eyed James Dunders Dudley.
I hate contacts.
You hate contact. Human contact.
I hated that movie.
It's true.
Really?
No.
Oh.
I love that movie.
It's actually not a terrible movie.
Anyway, hey,
if anyone gets too close to me, I push my buzzer. That's right, folks. We have a new addition to the Damn Art Majors team. It's a buzzer. Whenever you hear this buzzer, it signifies something cool is going to happen. I'm not sure what, but something.
Buzzers. Thank you. Hey.
You're welcome.
What else are we doing today? It looks like we are at round four.
Four.
The final, what is it? The playoff? The final
round?
Final round before
the championship.
I don't know sports, man, so help me
out. It's not even a sports thing.
It's episode 5 of Star Wars.
Oh.
The Empire Strikes Back.
No, I got that.
So this is going to leave us all sad and wanting more. Anyway, so who do we have today?
Today we have the Devil's Tramping Ground Triple Beer. From Aviator Brewing Company, and this one was suggested by Bryce H from Facebook.
A lot of people live on Facebook.
Yes, they do. It's a golden beer. It supposedly finishes a bit sweet. Light taste from just the hint of sugar that's put in.
We also have Angry Orchard from Dawn via the Facebooks. This is our first apple cider ale for what you drink in contest. So
technically not a beer, but we'll allow it.
We'll allow it. You know what? Why not?
We'll allow it.
And what's the final one?
Our third beer is it's by a company called Kona, and it's a beer called Castaway. We weren't able to find the recommendation. The original recommendation was Wave Runner. It's a seasonal beer that's not around at the moment. So what we got was Castaway, which is an IPA. That's part of the Aloha series.
What does IPA stand for?
India Pale Ale.
Good job.
This one was suggested by Lauren S. from Facebook. Thanks, Lauren.
All right. So if it's your first What You Drinking contest you're tuning into, or if you just need a refresher, we will periodically sample all three beers as we do the show, and we will score them. And at the end of the show, we will tally up the results and give you guys the winner. I think that was the first time I ever did that without stuttering. Go me.
Nice.
Yeah, you like that? You're proud. I'm proud.
Don't touch that button. I like that you chose a red button for that.
I actually was highly appropriate. Actually, the buttons are black. I purposely disassembled it and painted it red so it would be more alluring.
You're terrible.
Because who doesn't want to push a red button?
It's like that episode of Ren and Stimpy where... Stimpy
is that, Space Madness?
Yeah, he's on the spaceship and the captain says he's like, I've gotta leave this room and go do something. Commander Stimson, whatever you do, do not touch the red button. And the guy leaves and he ends up going insane and like mad, I guess, and he ends up pressing the red button, and like I think the entire universe explodes when he does it.
Oh, absolutely! Or they all go inside of his belly button.
Or it could be like Desmond, and every 187 hours, he has to push the button.
Yeah. Now he's typing the code.
Oh, that's right. But it's type in the code and push a button, right?
Yeah.
But more importantly, I have no idea what beer I'm drinking. Beer in a glass appeared before me, and I started drinking it.
You've got the devil's tramping ground.
Thank you. I was not sure. I was just like, I'm imbibing a beer.
That's actually pee.
So
you're a dick.
So the next episode, the winner of this episode will go up against three previous winners in a finale for a prize package. The winner of today's episode will get a sticker prize package from both Damn Art Majors and Oak City Hustle. So stay tuned. All right.
Do we have any news?
Do we? News. Got anything?
By the time this episode comes out, I think SparkCon is coming up.
SparkCon, yeah, downtown Raleigh.
Yeah, I'm not sure if it's going to be... Is it next weekend?
I don't know off the top of my head. We can look it up real quick.
SparkCon is like a independently funded... It's funded by the Visual Art Exchange, I think, of Raleigh. But it's a community event where they just bring in artists and they're allowed to do any sort of showcase of creative talents, be it circus performances or sidewalk chalk drawings or magic performances. But it usually draws a lot of people.
Yeah, I think I went last year. It was pretty intense. There was a whole lot of things going on. It's a family-friendly event. I know my company is one of the sponsors for it. Let's see. It looks like September 11th through the 14th, downtown Raleigh. So, SparkCon, very cool. Dutters, you got anything?
Today's the 6th?
Today is the 5th!
5th.
Is this coming Thursday, for those of you listening, because today that you're listening, that
would just be Monday.
So, this Thursday, folks, yeah. SparkCon.
That whole time travel is a bitch tagline we used to have would be pretty appropriate.
Yeah. Do I have any news? Not really.
Hopscotch is here, and from what I hear, it's madness.
Yeah. But that doesn't matter for our listeners on Monday, because that's in the past.
Yeah.
True.
I really wish I could have gone to that. It's really unfortunate that it's $80 a ticket. I mean, that gets you one day of, you know, probably more performances than you can actually go and see. But
that really only gets you in the venues, because you can't just walk around for free.
Yeah, you can. You just don't have to, you know, buy food or beer. You could go hungry.
We really don't know, because none of us have ever gone. So, there you go.
I'm a Durhamite, and I don't commute.
Maybe I'll open a savings account.
Maybe next year Hopscotch will sponsor some Damn Art Majors and we could get in and report like we did from HeroesCon.
Absolutely. So if you people listening...
Yeah, blow up Hopscotch, man.
I don't know if you have to have a press pass to walk around in there with recording stuff. Because there's, you know...
You know, it's Monday morning and a lot of people are, you know, just trying to stay awake at work and I don't think we're helping them at all.
Wake up, bitches! Welcome to Monday!
You need to not do that again.
Speaking of not doing things again, I am, over 2 years a non-smoker, which, mazel tov for me, I suppose. And I just happened to stumble upon, actually, no, I'm sorry, this was a listener topic. They have... Rhode Island School of Design.
RISD.
What?
It's called RISD.
Oh, RISD?
Mm-hmm.
Is that like SCAD?
Yeah.
Okay. They did a cigarette box redesign. And I guess the concept here is to make the removal of your cigarette pack a little more inconvenient.
You mean the removal of the cigarette from the cigarette pack? Or is it the cigarette pack?
Both. I mean... You get a shape like this, you throw it in your pocket, it's going to get caught.
What we're looking at is a to me, it's kind of a rhombus-shaped trapezoid.
Well, it's like, it's diamond-shaped on the top and the bottom.
It's an extruded diamond.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
It looks like a compass marker.
You would, in theory, open it from the top, and you would have three cigarettes all just kind of, like stacked logs.
But God forbid when you get down to that last cigarette, it's going to be one cigarette sitting in, like, the bottom of a funnel shape.
Yeah.
And you're going to try and, like, get that, you know, you're going to have to dump it out into your hand. It's going to... Honestly, I see this. I can just picture... You walk out of a club, all you see is people just fumbling with these packs, just spilling cigarettes.
Just swaying back and forth drunkenly, like, I wish my fingers would work.
But just cigarettes going everywhere. Meanwhile, the homeless people are loving it. Because it's just raining free tobacco.
Yeah.
But it's an interesting concept.
Well, what's cool about this article is that they show all the, like, the concept art behind the package and all the designs that led up to it.
What's really cool is that's actual physical artwork that they're showing. Like, somebody actually scanned that.
I think what's neat about the article, I mean, you know, the whole idea of making it impractical, you know, packaging and stuff like that is an interesting, especially for something that will kill you, is... The concept, for me, the concept is not very interesting. For me, the process, like the actual showing the entire process, I find more intriguing.
Yeah, because it's a lot like sculpture. I mean, he built a cardboard maquette attached with, you know, masking tape and cut with X-Acto knives.
Well, he took it up a notch with designing what would be the hypothetical carton in which these things would come packaged.
Mm-hmm.
To me, it actually resembles kind of like a egg carton, the way eggs would come. And even how it would fit in your pocket.
Yeah, it really seems like because the cigarettes are packaged in this horizontally, and they're three in a row, you can't get your fingers in there behind the filter or in front of the end of the cigarette to, like, pull it out. So you'd have to squeeze the pack in order to get the cigarette out, which would squish the other cigarettes. So it's pretty... ingenious, the subtleties of how much of a pain in the ass it would be to get this out. So remember when I used to smoke, it was made so that when you flip the top open, you had about a half inch of filter sticking out. You could just slide your finger behind it, pull it out that way. This, you would be hard pressed to get one out without a struggle.
Do you believe that this redesign would dissuade smokers?
No.
No, I think if anything, they would buy it, and they would just go out and buy one of those plastic hard packs that would protect your cigarettes from water and stuff, and they would just transplant them. That's what I would do anyway.
It's a neat project. I mean, it's a neat concept.
I think it's more an exercise in thought.
Right.
It's sort of... Because this actually reminds me of a series of work this other guy did where he takes perfectly useful items... I think he's a metalsmith.
Yeah.
And he makes them completely useless. I think one of my favorites was the fork that has had the tines removed but then reattached using chain links, like little tiny chain links. So if you actually picked up this fork to stab some, the links would just flop.
Oh, I believe I got one of those articles too of like all sorts of impractical.
Yeah, just impractical, inventions. But they're done by artists.
Yeah,
and it's sort of taking the practical things in our lives and making them absurd and absurdist. And I think that's something that artists are particularly good at, is showing a mirror at some of the absurd things that we have in our life. And
yeah, they take kind of an objective view, but then they take it to the next step and actually show you what they're talking about.
It's kind of something that artists, I think, have been doing ever since ever. Kind of taking the world around them and then turning it around and manipulating it and creating a skewed view so that you actually have a better vision of what's around you. Comedians more recently do this.
I think it's a way for the artist to interact with the viewer and have some fun with them. One of the things that appealed to me about that you know, post of all the impractical utensils and appliances and whatnot was you kind of have to think about it a little bit and, you know, think, like, imagine yourself trying to use this inverted spoon or this spoon where the handle's at a 45 degree and how you would have to like put that to your mouth. And it really asks, you know, the viewers to put themselves in that situation, which though frustrating is a lot of fun. It's a nice play between the two.
I think that only would work with things that you use every day and don't even think about.
Right.
Like if someone, like if I was presented with a bowl and a spoon and the handle was bent at 45 degree angle or a 90 degree angle to the spoon, I wouldn't think about it. I would just pick it up and start to use it. And it would take me a second to realize there's something wrong with this tool that I use every day. Like, I mean,
yeah, it's like
my brain would kick in.
It's like the rubber pencil trick.
What is going on here? Because it's, you don't think about using a spoon. You just pick up a spoon and you start, you just expect the spoon to be there. But there is no spoon.
Thanks, bald kid from the Matrix.
But I mean, but insanely, like, I think it really, something like that, that kind of absurd approach to presenting a modified artifact is, I think it works better when it's something that is something that you interact with on a daily basis that's tactile, that you don't think about, that it's just kind of it's muscle memory.
Right.
Yeah.
And then to manipulate it, it screws with the viewer.
Yeah, for the average person that might walk through a gallery full of these objects, it at least gets them to think for a split second, man, that would really be a pain in the ass if it was like that, or if I didn't have the capability made possible by this utensil, or this device, or this whatever. And otherwise, they might not even think about that for a week, for a month, for a year. They might not even have that type of thought.
Mm-hmm.
So, it gets the juices stirring.
All right. You have been commissioned to create an impractical object. What's your object, and how is it impractical?
Me?
Yeah. It's going to be a go-around.
A toilet seat that rotates.
I knew you'd go for the toilet. You always go for the toilet.
I don't even know what that means. You sit down and it's like a Lazy Susan toilet seat.
Is that impractical? That'd be kind of fun. Going back and forth.
But you gotta remember, a toilet is an oblong. It's not perfectly circular. So at certain points, you would find yourself not hovering over the toilet. And you could get ricochet.
Interesting. What do you got?
A square steering wheel.
Oh, that sucked.
Oh, that would suck.
And to make it even worse, a square steering wheel made out of flat bar steel. Unpainted and uncoated, so it rusts every time you touch it.
I feel like there's gonna be a lot of people walking around in the summer with like wrapped up hands. Like, yeah. Burn cream is gonna like be a premium. Just people grabbing.
I got tetanus.
Glass cutting board.
Hmm.
No, there are glass cutting boards.
Are there?
I think so.
There are glass cutting boards.
Damn it, I don't got one.
I
gotta think of a better one. Is it really a glass cutting board?
Yeah.
Leave the button alone.
Yeah, they have something like that.
Yeah, they make glass cutting boards. They have little rubber feet on the bottom and they're textured.
But I think that would break, wouldn't it?
No. Dude, glass is like durable stuff. True. They make windshields out of it.
Mm. It's probably tempered.
Yeah.
A pinata punching bag?
I think you're thinking too hard.
I might be thinking too hard. You might be right.
I mean, just take something you use every day.
Yeah.
What is something you use every day?
Pinatas.
I can literally say I've never seen you use a pinata.
How about a punching bag filled with gravel?
Or a cement punching bag.
I like the idea of you punch it and you get candy.
Or a 50-pound mouse for your
computer. Thus, you eat the candy and you end up gaining weight from working out.
All right, a punching bag full of jawbreakers.
Well, that just sounds like kind of fun, too.
And it makes sense.
Yeah, why not?
Okay. It's this time on Damn Art Majors, we've got a bell! But But no, seriously, we have a bell. And for all of you listeners out there, you're probably sitting there going, what the hell are they talking about? No, we actually do have a bell. It's an old, I don't know, what kind of, it's just a bell with
it's a
hammer.
It's like a school bell.
Yeah, it is. It's like a little school bell. I found it, and I wired it, and I gave it a red button and a sticker, and I've been drawing on it. Unfortunately, it's got an LED, but I burned the LED out. I didn't wire it properly and burned out the LED light. But so I'm going to replace that. So Bummer. We'll have a light at some point.
You should put one of those like dash mountable cop lights. Like the can lights with the rotating.
Well, see,
lights.
The idea behind the light was it would indicate when it was plugged in. So it would just be on all the time.
Oh, okay.
Telling you that you have a live bell. Mm-hmm. And actually, like, I mean, this is something, talking about impractical objects. I'm Aaron, you can probably relate to this. Adam, maybe you can relate to this. But I have a love of just tinkering and making stupid shit that I'm... This serves no purpose in my life.
The bell. Well, you could...
It's just fun. It's just fun to sit down and just throw something like this together and not really care that much.
You could rewire the button so it's on the outside of your house and then have the bell on the inside.
Oh, I mean, no, that's the idea behind
it. Pretty sweet doorbell.
No, it is a very nice doorbell. It would be annoying because knowing anyone, they just.
It would also probably make you crap your pants every time it rang.
Well, it kind of actually was funny. Is it's like a louder version. It's a louder version of like an old telephone. Because the old telephones had this same size bell, just shrunken down and hidden behind plastic.
Yeah.
But it's actually really cool because it's got a little case on it that pops off, and you can actually see the exposure. And when you push the button, you can see the spark.
So you can.
Yeah. Which is kind of exciting.
I have to admit, this whole episode's pretty impractical.
isn't that the point?
Oh,
speaking
of pretty impractical. So, apparently my whole family is, like, fancies themselves as entrepreneurs.
Oh, yeah?
Really?
Yeah. And my mom has a online business as well as a craft show business that she calls Pretty Practical. And the website is prettypracticalnc.com, where you can get all sorts of handmade craft stuff, cooking stuff, things, you know, for the house. And their whole concept is, you know, it's practical home products that are also, you know, nice to display as well. You don't have to just shove them in drawers and whatnot.
Yeah, they are actually really nice.
She's been doing craft shows, God, almost pretty much since we moved to North Carolina. She's probably been doing craft shows maybe 6 to 8 years, I would say. And this year we launched prettypracticalnc.com, and you know, she got a business license, and her goal is to hopefully by this time next year actually have a freestanding store. All the products are made, you know, handmade, and she has a full-time job as a sales rep, and every morning she wakes up at like 5-6 in the morning, goes downstairs and just starts sewing. And it's like, if you think like I do a lot of stuff or you guys do a lot of stuff, my mom is ridiculous. She's got so many things going on that it's really like mind-boggling how one 95-pound lady can do so much crap. I don't know.
It's the spirit of the buffalo.
You call my mom a buffalo?
No, I'm saying she has the buffalo spirit, dumbass.
What does that mean?
It means whatever you want it to mean. Just trying to be nice.
So yeah, if you need like a new apron or you need some trivets, which thanks to her I found out what the fuck a trivet is.
So I'm gonna throw a testimonial in here. My girlfriend Sarah bought a potato bag from Adam's mom, and it's a microwavable bag that you place raw baking potatoes into, and it'll steam these things to perfection in like a freaking minute in the microwave. And it's ridiculous because they don't taste microwaved. It's like the bag steams them, and I don't know what's so special about it, but it was made with love.
You heard it here, folks. You heard it here first.
It has a really cool
potato bags.
It has a really cool fabric covering around it that It's really gorgeous. Like, it has pictures of potato products on it. And it's really nice.
I can honestly say I've never used my mom's potato bags.
It's the shit, dude.
Yeah, no, I want one, but I don't want to pay for it.
I feel weird saying...
You like my mom's potato bags?
I like your mom's potato bag, but...
I actually, as an avid potato eater... I really
as an advocate for potato rights,
I would really like one of these potato bags. Where can I find them?
PrettyPracticalNC.com.
You probably already said that because I totally remember hearing you just say that.
Well, I mean, I mean, just keeping in the theme, we went from impractical to practical and pretty, and we don't do pretty here on the show very often. So that's a new flavor from us.
What are you
unless
to say?
We have Meredith on, whom we will be reaching out to this week. About the next episode, because we will have four beers going up against each other, so we're going to bring in a fourth guest.
And also, we need to curb the bias from the fact that we've had these beers already.
True. Well, she had the first one. Me, her, and daughters.
I didn't have the first one.
You didn't have the first one. It'll be all new experience for you.
So it'll be two new beers for me.
Two?
One.
One.
Get your fucking finger away from that button.
But it's my button.
That needs to be in the center of the table, not over there by you.
But it's my button.
So apparently there's a note on here that says Dutter's secret segment.
He said he always comes with a segment.
Or was it supposed to say secrete segment?
You get a secrete a segment?
Yeah. Stop it.
On that note, with that sound, folks, you know what time it is. It's time for What's That Noise? With your host, Stutters.
What's That Noise?
I'm
glad you asked.
I'm anxious to see how this is going to go. Because we're in here with you.
Yeah, I know.
Just so you know, we're in here with you.
If I had actually been prepared and wasn't completely, like, bugged out of my mind at work this week, the idea was I was going to record some noises that are commonly occur around the shop, and then I was going to ask you, what's that noise? And then you could tell me, or guess, what that noise is. There's going to be five noises, so that way we can have an obvious winner, you know, kind of thing like that. And the prize would be... No, absolutely nothing.
Chicken.
No.
Oh.
But I wasn't prepared and didn't record some noises, so I just make up some noises. If you
I just imagine you doing, like, barnyard animal calls.
What's that noise?
That is an attempt at a Monty Python skit.
No, it's copyright infringement, sir.
That's not a fucking noise.
This episode is a testament to the fact that anybody can have a podcast. Anybody with a microphone and an outlet.
Actually, what's funny is the other day, this completely has nothing to do. There's no secret segment. What the hell are you talking about? I don't even know what you're talking about.
I still think it's supposed to say secrete.
I secrete a segment? Anyway. But no, the other day, speaking to the podcast, and the other day, my significant other purchased a pair of really powerful, not really powerful, that's the wrong
panties.
One. No. Headphones made by 3M. They actually block out
3M
noise.
3M makes headphones?
Yes, 3M makes everything.
True.
But these 3M headphones are their highest rating as far as blocking out noises. Like, you put these things on, you hear your own heartbeat.
Did she buy these because of the neighbors last week?
Yes.
somebody had to call the cops last week, and it wasn't on us.
But we have noisy neighbors. Anyway, what was interesting about the headphones is I put them on, and then I started talking, and it made me painfully aware of how poor I am at enunciating everything I say. When I talk, it sounds like someone has shoved cotton into a normal person's mouth and then forced them to speak. And that is actually what's funny is when I put the headphones on, it made me painfully aware of why I don't actually enjoy listening to myself as a recording.
You just figured this out. I've been editing this podcast for 6 months. I've been very aware of your problem, but more so aware of my stuttering problem and saying a lot. In fact, I'll let you guys in on a little secret.
You edit the ums?
I do edit some of the ums, but also recently I have been taken to reading out loud to my cat to help me enunciate better and to stutter less. So when the girlfriend's not around and no one's around and it's just me and Binks, I'm reading to him out loud, and it's kind of lame.
Be but careful.
I have to admit to that.
You don't want to make your cat too smart. He'll steal your breath while you're sleeping.
Well, no, actually, what's funny is when I was wearing the headphone, the earmuffs, it made me realize why when people are in a recording studio, they're all wearing headphones.
Mm-hmm.
It's so that, A, they can hear their own levels, so they realize how close they need to be to the microphone, which it makes pretty much common sense. But I think it's also so they can hear themselves.
Oh, yeah.
And so they, like, right now, I'm not wearing headphones. You're the only one wearing headphones.
There's only one headphone jack.
Anyway, you're the only one wearing, we could probably get a splitter. But you're the only one wearing headphones, and as a result, you're the only one who's aware of how much I sound like Marlon Brando as the Godfather. All the time.
In fairness, you only really seem to sound like that when you're, like, a couple deep. And you're really tired of talking. But you don't know how to stop talking, but you're still tired of talking. You're kind of like on that last leg of the race where you're just like, I gotta just finish the race, but you really don't want to.
I think I live on the last leg of the race.
Fair enough. Yeah. Aaron, we're like 6-7 months into this. I'm sure you've listened to an episode or two. Do you have any thoughts at this point?
I think the two complaints you guys made about the enunciation and the stuttering, or three complaints. Enunciation.
Stutterings and ums.
All three apply to me.
You're not that bad.
You know what? I'm not going to fucking apologize for it.
No, you're really not that bad. What I can, you know, if there's praise to be given, if you check out the first couple episodes, instead of saying we say fuck. And we've gotten a lot better about that.
Well, that's because I've replaced it with.
Oh my god! I'm going to start a petition for changing the usage of the word to the word fuck.
Yeah,
Aaron, you got some news.
I do have some news
because you couldn't pull that shit out when we were struggling to come up with the topic.
That's what cutting and editing is for.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd heard about this earlier in the week, but I didn't think it would be appropriate. So anyway, in lieu of spider facts or owl facts or whatever.
Owls.
I'm going to talk about a dinosaur that was discovered recently. So.
I heard about this. It's so exciting.
Yeah, it is exciting. It's really crazy. It sparks all sorts of childhood interest. So an international team of paleontologists unveiled yet another like Mesozoic-era tyrant, which they called Dreadnoughtus shrani.
Do you think they call them paleontologists because they don't see the sun a whole lot?
They see the sun a shitload.
Yeah, dude.
Actually, no, that's not true. They only actually spend like maybe 5% of their careers out in the field.
Pale, you know, like it's a joke.
It was discovered in Argentina in 2005, but it's taken 9 years to tediously uncover the bones of this guy. One, because practically the only way to safely excavate a 77-million-year-old skeleton is to basically use paintbrushes to remove all the dirt. And two, a close study of the bones of this creature make it a contender for basically being the largest land animal ever in existence. It weighs in at around 65 tons. It stands 2 stories tall just at the shoulder, and it measures 85 feet long. The scientists that discovered it know this because close analysis of the animal's skeleton, and also 70% of the skeleton is intact, which is remarkable and rare, especially for a 77-million-year-old animal the size of a Boeing 737. But study of the growth rings in the bones suggested that this animal was also still growing at the time of his death, which is insane.
The bones hadn't even fused.
Yeah. They suspect that the animal must have been caught in a tremendous flood. It drowned, and from analysis of the layers of sediment that were surrounding it.
Talk about one heck of a flood if it's two stories tall.
Yeah, really. I mean, this... It had to have been able to swim of some way.
Well, I mean, also, you're talking about an animal that probably can't get out of the way very quickly.
I mean, I would imagine it could run pretty damn fast.
Well, no, I mean, yeah, but no. What is it? 65 tons? No. What was it? How many tons? What was the tonnage?
65.
65 tons, 85 feet long, two stories tall at the shoulder. You don't have to run. At that size, other dinosaurs, like, hang out and in the shade that you cast.
Uh-huh.
I mean, that's a giant... That's huge.
Yeah.
That's like... However many... That's like, what, 12 elephants crammed into one creature?
More than that. There's actually a picture online where they break it down. It goes from, like, moose to elephant to Tyrannosaurus to Brachiosaurus to a Boeing 737 to this guy.
I mean, the caloric intake required for this creature to even stay alive...
It's an entire tree a day.
Yeah. I mean... That's insane.
Yeah.
I was listening to them talk about this on the news. And actually, it's they're doing all the legwork. A lot of the legwork is happening, what, in Baltimore, Maryland?
Yeah, I think so.
But they've actually, Argentina has a policy where any artifact found there, dinosaur or anything, has to then be returned. So actually, when they're done doing all the research, it's going back to Argentina.
Yeah, they get it until 2015.
Yeah, but I mean, I cannot comprehend that amount, that scale, without a visual representation.
Next time you go to the airport, take a look at the plane that you're about to get on.
And then remember there's a dinosaur that was bigger than that.
Yeah, supposedly it could have been.
Yeah. Actually what's funny is because I was listening to, this was being discussed on the radio, there's actually a dinosaur that they cannot confirm definitely is bigger than this one, but possibly bigger. The only reason they cannot confirm it is because they don't have... It's the thigh and I think a shoulder bone or some... So there's two bones that are required in order to determine a definite tonnage.
It's probably the femur and the tibia or fibula.
Something.
The two leg bones.
Yeah, but if they have those two bones, which with this dinosaur they do, so they have a definite confirmation of the tonnage of this dinosaur. But there's another dinosaur out there that is potentially in the same category, maybe even bigger than this one. They just don't have the bones required to definitively prove it. And that is terrifyingly awesome.
Yeah. You're talking about like how crazy it is that something this massive would be able to move around. One of the things that they're studying with these bones in Maryland, I guess, is they're taking 3D scans of them, which is kind of a first. I mean, they've 3D scanned dinosaur bones before, sure. Probably to reproduce them. But they're making these scans available to people to see. But what they're focusing on is these things are so well preserved that they can see the muscle attachment scars on them from where the bone, muscle, and sinew would actually combine in a cartilage manner. And it's going to help them understand exactly how something so massive as these creatures was able to move around. Just by comparing it to modern day creatures. I think it's going to kind of paint a picture of how they existed in an ecosystem being, you know, the size of a goddamn plane.
I mean, I read somewhere else, it was like, what, 32 T-Rexes or something? I mean, it's like the amount of other dinosaurs that would have to be combined to create this one. Well, basically walking...
No, a T-Rex was about a third the size of this. It would have had a hell of a time trying to take this thing down, I would imagine.
I mean, something this large wouldn't have a natural predator if it was healthy. It just wouldn't be worth it. I mean, this thing swings its tail, it's going to... I mean, if it laid down on top of a dinosaur trying to eat it, the dinosaur would be dead. 65 tons falls on you, you're dead. That's it.
Mm.
Like, you're done.
So the trees in that area would have been taller, like much taller than they are these days. I mean, you think about rainforest growth, you think about massive trees. This thing would have been able to pluck out of probably the top of the trees. I really can't think of there being a predator that would be able to touch it unless there were like three or four of them.
So you have to think it probably travels in a family pack, like cattle, like, you know, like other grazing animals.
Yeah.
So there's not just one of these. There's 12 of them just lumbering about. And you're a predator and you come up to this thing and the leg on this thing is as big as you and all of your cousins.
Yeah.
F that. That's it. I'm done.
Look how they move in a herd. Just like a flock of birds. Sorry. I just, the whole
Jurassic
time,
I,
you
yeah,
know, and I
yeah.
really debated on doing a Jurassic Park reference. I really did. I tried to be very quiet so I wouldn't do a Jurassic Park reference.
It's a good
reference.
Book. Read the book.
Do you think this dinosaur will be in Jurassic World with Chris Pratt?
No.
Damn the movie's it. Already done.
Yeah.
No, they're filming it.
No, they've shot it. Yeah. It's done.
Oh, it's
shot.
In post. They have time to make
they're
a model.
Not, they're not going to go in and they're post just, and spend the money on CGI to make Chris Pratt's lips go from saying, oh, look at that giant, you know, Brachiosaurus, to, oh, look at that giant, what's it called again? The
Dreadnoughtus.
Dreadnoughtus. Look at that Dreadnoughtus.
What a badass name.
It is a badass name. It's because it's named after the ships, the Dreadnought ships.
Mm-hmm.
That were considered pretty much in a league of their own.
And not the crappy ship from the most recent Star Trek movie.
No.
Let's forget about that.
So, Dutters, what is your favorite segment so far? Or game?
I like the one-off segment I did where Too Long Did Not Read.
Oh, yeah, for the
where it's the hip. It was the Dutters doesn't read a book but reviews it anyway.
Nice.
Yeah,
that was a good one. Aaron, we already know you like spider facts.
We actually haven't heard spider facts in a while.
We haven't. Yeah. What's going on?
It was replaced by What's That Noise?
I would say...
At some point, I will actually be prepared, and I will have my noise recordings, and we will play said recordings, and we will play What's That Noise?
I would say it's a toss-up. I really enjoy Damagories. Like, that's probably my favorite game that we play. We need to play Damagories again.
I feel like this episode is a podcaster's retrospective.
Well, I mean, think about it. I mean, we're at the half-year mark. I mean,
we've
never done this before.
I don't...
Until this year. So, I mean, it's all right. I think you guys can hang with us while we kind of talk about... the road already traveled.
I don't think I have a favorite segment, but I've been listening to a lot of other art podcasts.
How dare you?
Yeah. Looking at our competition.
Yeah.
I've been listening to a lot of other art podcasts. And what they lack in is diversity.
Right.
What we excel in, but in a very discombobulated manner, is having a crap load of different gimmicks and features and segments that we bring back and constantly retire and bring back. But it's funny. I mean, it makes it interesting. Like, it's a mixed bag every episode, however confusing and ranty it might be.
I like how we also had that. What was that segment you came up with? The random the
lightning bonus round.
Lightning bonus round.
We did it once.
Lightning bonus round. Adam, what is your ideal day?
A day with nothing but burritos and Lost. Aaron, what's your favorite part of the female anatomy?
Motherfucker.
I'll take that answer. I'll take that as an answer.
I need another bell that has an noise.
I don't think I can answer that question.
You can't even do a lightning bonus round.
I can't answer that fucking question.
You can't deal with your own lightning bonus round.
I can't answer that question because my girlfriend listens to the podcast.
I mean, you could have said toes, you could have said ears,
toes?
You could have said
really?
Eyes.
Clearly Adam's favorite is toes. I'll just go with, lower back.
All right. Well, you got one for Dutters?
Actually, I'll put it this way.
You failed
the serratus muscles. Okay. Richard, name an artist that you would like to hit in the knees with a baseball bat.
Shit, I can never come up with his name on command, but the guy that put everything in formaldehyde in giant tanks.
Damien Hirst.
Damien Hirst, yes. In fact, I'd actually like to walk in during one of his shows, hit him in the kneecaps when I'm done hitting him in the kneecaps, break the glass on the tank, have the formaldehyde spill out, covering everyone in the gallery as I walk out wearing the shark on my head in a victory salute. That has been Lightning Bonus Round. Thank you.
Unfortunately, you would actually go to jail for mass murder because raw formaldehyde would suffocate everyone in the room.
The bonus round is over.
Just letting you know.
The bonus round is over. I think Adam's definitely the winner.
That was
one.
The longest lightning round. And that was only two. That was lightning round number two.
Sorry, I failed that one. I forgot the 5-second answer limit.
Yeah, that's why I need another bell that's darker and more ominous to cut people off. Yeah. So I have the bell, so what I need to now build is the foghorn. So I can have the... and then, so I got the... and the... I don't know why I just made a sound effect for the bell that's sitting right in front of me. Probably because both of them look like they're going to kill me if I push this button one more time. Oh yeah, no, I got my scores.
I still haven't had the third one yet.
All right, we're going to take a moment while Aaron tries the third beer, and we're going to tally up our votes here, and we'll be right back with the winner of round four. I'm going to take it away, and we have our results.
The results are... Adam, do the revelations. Aaron, whoever has the results, reveal them.
You just took the results.
Oh, I did. What an asshole that guy must be. Angry Orchard has 16.5 points.
So it is in third place.
It is in third place. Second place is the Kona Castaway, which is the IPA, with 19.5 points. And the winner, of course, is the Aviator beer, Devil's Tramping Ground, which is a triple, at 24.25 points. So almost a solid 30. So congratulations to... Bryce?
Yes.
And for having your name completely butchered on our episode of Damn Art Major.
It's a hard name to say.
No. I couldn't remember.
You will be getting a sticker package because we apologize for our inability to enunciate anything.
I just couldn't remember who suggested it.
Bryce.
So we have our four winners.
Thank you, Bryce.
Next week they will go up against each other for a grand finale to the What You Drinking contest. And the next one will be better.